number 25. Verse 25 in Hebrews chapter number 10. Okay, so I'm going to pick up there at verse number 24, or no, I'm sorry, 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I'm going to stop right there. Now, in the book of Hebrews so far, we've looked at the warnings and the exhortations. And the first one we saw was drifting from the Word of God, chapter 2. Then the second warning was about doubting the Word. Look at me. If God tells you to do something and you hesitate, what are you doing? You with me? Guys, we should have that childlike attitude. Whatever he says, he knows better than me. I want to please him and I want to do it. Are we okay? And so then there's a dullness. There's a, what this is really a gradual downhill in a saved person's life. And it all has to do with what? The Word of God. Your reaction, your faith, your lack of faith, your obedience, your disobedience to the Word of God. And then there's a dullness to it. And then we're looking now, or we will be looking after I finish this, at despising the Word. And then there'll be another one in chapter 12. So picking up there in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Okay, now, I know it's early in the morning for some of y'all. What's he talking about right there? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. What's he talking about right there? Marisa? Church. The local Bible-believing church. What's he say to do? Don't forsake it. Are we not living in a day and age that, quote unquote, saved people are deserting and forsaking the house of God at a tremendous rate? And listen, you leave a good, strong, Bible-believing church to go to one of those hog pens like across the street that they're building, that's not the same thing. Y'all with me? That's a disco point. That's a pinball joint. Whatever you know, it's a concert. Anything ugly I can say about it, I'm trying to say it. Because if some of you think it's okay, you're wrong. That's not church. And really, when you think about it, most of those places, they don't call it what? Church. New Life Assembly, fellowship. Y'all with me? Yeah. Why? Because Christ died for the church. Amen. So he's talking about the church. This is what I want to say. It is absolutely essential to a Christian's Christianity to be faithful in the house of God. I will tell you this. If it wasn't for the church, there is no way I get started in my Christian life and no way I get through my Christian life to get to the point that I'm at now without the church. If everybody is honest and they evaluate themselves, the blessings of the Lord, of course, start at salvation, but they are continued on as we get in the church. And not just a pew sitter, but get in, get involved, get praying, get given. Are y'all with me? It's essential. You are not going anywhere with the Lord in your Christian life without the church and the Word of God. Caleb, Miss Keenan, look up Psalm 122 and verse 1. And Brother Caleb, would you look up Psalm 23, verse 6? And then, Marisa, would you look up 1 Corinthians 11:22? I'm trying to magnify the importance of the church. I don't know about, listen, I've seen a lot of people get out of church, and I'm not talking about people that never really got in. I'm talking about people who were in, and they were doing right, and they got out of the church. There's some of them, some of you people that moved down with New York, you look back at the people, think about where you were when you walked in the doors or got involved in the church, and think about where the Lord has brought you, and think about all the help and encouragement. Are y'all with me? It's vital, guys. It is absolutely vital. I'm going to tell you this. If you can lay out of church for some sick reason, did you call in Dawn? I forgot to tell you. I apologize. 71. And what was I saying? Oh, yeah. If you can lay out of church for some, you know, I'm tired. You know, I had a long day. And it doesn't bother you, you're quenched the Holy Ghost. That's dangerous. And then chastening, we're going to see chastening comes upon that. So, Caleb 23:6. What do we call this? House of the Lord. It's good to get used to going to church because you're going to dwell there forever and ever. Is that what it says? That's what it says. And then 1 Corinthians 11:22.
When have he not helped us to eat and drink in, or despise you, the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you? Yes, praise you.
Okay, they were messing around with the Lord's table. Okay, that's the context. But the phrase I wanted to bring out in that verse is despising. Read that, just that phrase.
Or despise you, the church of God.
Despise you, the church of God. Listen to me. When God places you in a church and you don't get under the burden of the leadership of that church and get involved and assemble together with that church, you're despising what God has. I am a local church man. I believe ministries, I believe missionaries, I believe evangelists, I believe people should be sent out of the local church. I think the local church is a good place for your kids to find mates at. Yeah. Where would you do it? On a dating site? On the? Okay. You know how you get these pop-up ads on these stupid devices that we have? In the last week, in the last 7 days, I have gotten two pop-ups. Now look, I don't go to dating sites. But I got two pop-ups, and guess what they were? Christian dating sites. Man. So anyway, careful not to despise the house of God. When you start grumbling, complaining, are we on the same page here? That's not a good attitude to have towards your church. I don't see God blessing you. So then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Huh. I would guess, now I did look up exhort in the dictionary, but exhorting is not tearing down. Exhorting is not hindering, is not hurting, is not tripping up. Okay? The old dictionary says exhort is to encourage, to cheer, to embolden, to warn, and to caution. You know what we are? According to the Bible, we are members of the same body, the body of Christ. Daniel, would you look up Ephesians 4:25? And then let's all of us go to 1 Corinthians 12. Daniel, would you read Ephesians 4:25 for me?
Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
Okay, so you all are with me that when we got saved, the Holy Ghost baptized us into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is also referred to as the church. Body of Christ is also referred to as the bride of Christ. Are we okay? Now, it says to exhort one another. Well, when's the last time, you know, your hand did something stupid and you cut it off? So I'm trying to make the analogy, when one part of our body is hurting, we're pretty careful to take care of that part of the body, are we not? That should be our mindset in the house of God with God's people, okay? Now, here's the problem. We have our preferences, we have our prejudices, and we have our opinions. And that usually hinders us from doing what God wants us to do as a body, exhorting one another. Are y'all with me? So I'm in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's pick up in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath what? Pleased him. Do y'all see that? Listen, I'm not a five-point Calvinist, but when we got saved, you know what God knew? God knew what he wanted in our lives. Would you agree with that? And he knew what talents, what abilities that he had given us, and what he wanted was some interest from our lives, showing our love, our thankfulness, and our appreciation for what he did for us. What he wants from me, he does not want from Dan. What he wants from Dan, he doesn't want from Kevin. Now, you understand there's some similarities. Read your Bible, pray. But we're talking about different gifts, different abilities. Are you all with me? You take a church, guys, okay? It takes God's people assembled together, laboring together with the mind of Christ to go forward. I was in Newport. What did I know about pastoring a church? What did I know about the work of God? I knew practically nothing, but God knew everything. And what God did is he brought me people that assembled themselves, got involved, and we did the work of the ministry. They were not trying to take my position. I wasn't trying to take their position. They weren't jealous of somebody else's gifts over their gifts. They labored together. And in both places, we saw the revival and the blessings of God in an unusual fashion. That is what Pastor is praying about. That's what we're praying about. That's what we would love our children's generation to see, the power of God fall on a church that can't be explained by human words. Well, what do we have to do? We have to each get in our place, do what we're supposed to do, and go forward with the Lord. Makes sense, doesn't it? And listen, it's not hard. Do you know what Pastor Matt is learning right now? It's a whole lot harder pastoring than being the assistant pastor. All his life, he has said, it is easy to follow orders. And now he's finding out not everybody believes that. Right? Pastor Matt, whatever I wanted, he took it to the nth degree. Whatever we did. Are y'all with me? Well, that changes in the positions that you are put in by the Lord. So as it pleased the Lord. I want to continue now. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many Now, I'm sorry. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? They're necessary. God wants us to have it. We shouldn't be baloney sausage made out of, are y'all with me? All of us are individuals. None of us have the same mental capacity. None, are y'all? And so whatever God has blessed us with, listen, I have absolutely zero talent, ability, knowledge of music. I can play a kazoo pretty good. I am thankful for those that have it and use it for the Lord. The ministry of music is vitally important in the church. But then what can happen with music people? Pride, envy, strife, bickering. You would think you'd realize the talent you have. You didn't conjure that up on your own. God gave it to you. So you're not better than me because you can and I can't. You have different gifts, different abilities. Some people are smart. Some people aren't so smart. Right? Amen. Look, I have never claimed to be very bright. I got through chemistry class in my junior year of high school because of the girl I went out with. And then I passed Latin because of the guy I sat next to. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just stating a fact. I got through college, and when I graduated, I had a 2.00 grade point average. That is a C average. That is the minimum that you could have back in those days to graduate college. And in order to get that, I had to have a priest increase my grade from a C to a B so that my grade level would let me graduate. You know what happened when I went to Bible school? I got straight A's. There was 15 or 16 guys in my class, girls in my class. I was valedictorian. I got to preach, teach, set, you know, the spear. Yeah. Said, why? Well, something changed down in my heart, and I got hungry for what I was studying. When I went to high school, I couldn't care anything about physics, chemistry. The only thing that had a little bit of interest was history. I liked history a little bit. Are you with me? There's some people that are brilliant. Some people have abilities. So what do? You come together as God's people, and everybody does what they do. And as a body, we go forward for the Lord. No jealousy, no envy, no criticizing. Go forward. Amen? Okay, so I left off there. 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Can you give me a real quick illustration how y'all have done that recently? Let me read it again. And those members of the body which we think less to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Nothing? Yeah. That's what came to my mind. That lady was over there. We started doing that, and she said she'd like to come to church. Now, listen to me. You know it's not easy getting her from here, from there to here, and here to there, right? And you know, she talked to Pastor about joining the church. She wanted to join the church, buddy. What did we do? When we accepted her into the membership, we were honoring her. That's what she wanted. You with me? So what's an old lady in a wheelchair that's staying in a nursing home? What's she going to do? I tell you what, I'm hoping she's praying for me, buddy. Amen. I bet you she's praying for this church. Amen. And I don't care what mood you're in, she's in a good one. Right? Are y'all with me? We cannot just make judgments on outward appearances. Can't do that. Every one of us. How much does God love each and every one of us? The same He loves each and every one of us. So if the Lord's going to take care of anybody, that's okay. But we shouldn't try to take the place of the Lord and do something like that, hindrance. So let me pick up verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. What's the Lord's desire? Unity, the unity of the Holy Ghost, right? So how do we get in unity with the Holy Ghost? You believe the Bible, do what the Bible says, and accept that as your final authority in faith and practice. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God's house, it's a great place. We know that it's a preaching place. We know it's a teaching place. We know it's a place to worship. We know it's a place to give. We know it's a place to have good fellowship. We know it's a good place to go out into the world and preach the gospel. It's just vitally important in our lives. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. First Timothy 3, verse 15. Kristen, would you look up Nehemiah 13:11 for me, please? 1 Timothy 3:15. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. That's 16. 15 I want. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So what's the Lord saying? I don't want you forsaken the assembling of yourselves at the local church. I want you exhorting one another, working together with one another, not tearing one another down. Nehemiah 13:11. Why is the house of God forsaken? Sounds like a good title for a message, doesn't it? The Lord notices. When you miss church, when you're faithful at the house of God, when you miss church, well, you look at all the empty seats. Everybody sees the empty seats. What do you think about? You think about the people who normally sit there. Your seat is empty. You're missed. Are you all with me? And I think that's important. And so, and I tell you something else, we don't just notice, God notices. And so, the three let us there, starting in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, let us draw near, can't ever get too close to the Lord. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Matthew Poole put it this way. He said, the blood of Christ bought our pardon. Now we should, or we must, show our gratefulness to him by holding fast our profession in the local church till Jesus comes. I thought that was pretty good. Okay, now chapter 26, starting in verse 26 and going through the end of the chapter, what we're going to look at is willful sin. What's the biggest criticism, those of us that believe in eternal security, that people say? Huh? They say you can do anything you want, which would include what? Sin. You can sin, you can live any way you want, you can do anything you want. There's nothing further from the truth than that, right? So chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who? His people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want to ask you a personal question, but I don't want you to answer it out loud. Were you ever at the precipice of doing something you knew you shouldn't have been doing? And then the fear of God kicked in and you thought, the Lord is going to wear me out if I do this. Am I making any sense to anybody? I am telling you, the fear of God has kept me from a lot of trouble. I know that the Lord will chastise me if I mess up. I know it. I said, how do you know it? Because I've experienced it. I think the Bible says that if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and you're not sons at all. Are we okay with that? So the thought that grace covers anything that we do, and because we're under grace and saved by grace and all that stuff, that whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we go, anything like that, everything's fine. That there's nothing further from the truth. That's what this passage is covering here right now. You see, you get drifting from the word and doubting the word and dullness to the word and despising the word. What are you doing? You're getting out of church. You're getting away from the Lord. You're not living that consecrated, separated, dedicated life. Now you're out there with the world chasing the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We okay? That's not where we want to be. You say, why isn't that where we want to be? What's the broader picture? You're going to, look at me, you're going to satisfy your flesh for this little fraction of time. And then you're going to stand before the Lord and spend all time in eternity in heaven, and you only had one life, and that is your profession, your life that you live. That is your testimony of what you live. You with me? I tell you. It's amazing. Yeah, I get, there's things that we know, and then there's other things that we know, but as we get older, they get more real. When I pillow my head at night, I try to go to sleep thinking on the Lord and talking to the Lord. And one of the things that has overwhelmed me recently is that I am going to get translated from this life, and I am going to be in the presence of Almighty God. I'm going to be in the presence of the one who had no beginning. I'm going to be in the presence of the one who said, let there be light. I'm going to be in the presence of the one who took dust, not dirt, dust made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I was with a surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, and he's not saved. So I said to him, and he knows I'm a preacher, and I've given him tracts. So I said this to him. I said, Doc, can I ask you a personal question? He said, yeah. I said, you have been educated and you have studied the human body way more than I could ever understand. I said, is that not true? He said, yeah. I said, after studying the human body, after operating, after seeing all that you have seen, do you really believe that we came from an amoeba and crawled out of a swamp and started swinging from trees, and then all of a sudden our tails dropped off and we stood up and started walking around?
Oh, I put it on him.
And he's just looking at me and he goes, well, now. And really, he took a detour. And he did say something about the body and, you know, it's whatever, you know. But he didn't want to know anything about God. In my feeble little mind, how can you not see that? Amen. The bones, the veins, the muscles, the tendons, the way. You know, I've been in all these orthopedic things, and they got these skeletons, or they got pictures of the skeletons with the muscles and the tendons. You ever look at that stuff? Good night of living. And I'm gonna be right there with them. And I'm going to see the Lord. I'm going to see those wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. And I'm going to know if it wasn't for him, I'd be burning in hell. What I want to do is I want to fall at his feet and I want to tell him, Lord, I love you. And I want him to say, Kenan, I know you loved me. Saying I love whatever is cheap. Amen. Living it is a whole other story. Amen? I mean, people are compromising because of family. People are compromising because of jobs. People are compromising because of neighbors. Are y'all? Now, that's not loving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might and all your strength. That's what I want to do. I'm going to get to see him one day. Well, here we are starting the fourth exhortation. And so the first part, verses 26 through 31, I've listed as worse than death. So it says in verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, comma, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I am so glad that my father was a disciplinarian. I read these things, Dan, and I think back to times my brother and I, and we usually it was Don and I, we were only 13 months apart, and so we were the two oldest, and we usually got into trouble together. So when we got in trouble together, we got disciplined together. And so it seems like we were, I rarely remember a time either of us got spanked. It was just one of us. It was both of us. But I can remember one time I was a teenager. And so I'm in high school, probably freshman in high school, maybe a sophomore, maybe Don's in eighth grade or ninth grade. And to be honest with you, I cannot remember what we did. But I know this, my mother said this, when your father gets home, I am telling him. Well, it was several hours before Dad got home. Do you know what Don and I were doing? Fearfully looking toward judgment. We had broken the law, and judgment was coming. And with that judgment came something else. Do you know what it was? Punishment. I was his son. I was his oldest son. And he loved me. But he was still going to judge me, and he still was going to chasten me. Boy, he put it on us too. So when I read that, I am God's son. But I also know that God, as Pastor preached the other day, he doesn't just love, he judges. He judges us as his children. So he said, if we will willfully, what happens is if we do something, the results hinge on what we do. You follow me? Dan, look up Galatians 6, 7, and 8 for me. If we sin willfully, we as God's children can expect judgment. And because we're saved, we call it judgment and chastisement. That's in verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I think there's two groups of people here in these passages, okay? Two groups, saved and lost. God's people and the adversaries, okay? The adversaries, there's a fearful looking for of judgment, but they're going to hell. That is their punishment for rejecting the word of God, disobeying the word of God. You and I, we're not going to suffer second death, spiritual death, and go to hell when we willfully sin, but we will suffer chastisement. Are y'all with me? Okay, so Galatians 6, Dan.
Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall be. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit shall of his spirit.
If you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. Is that for you and I? Well, that's what Galatians was too. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. I don't for 1 minute think that whenever something, sickness or disease or something comes in a person's life, I do not believe all sickness is chastisement. I don't believe that. Brother Phil Dunn got told, Phil, when Phil was first in Shady Acres the first few years, he had cancer in his back, okay? Phil had left a compromise in church, got into Shady Acres. He was serving the Lord and everything. You really think cancer in his back was God's chastisement on him? No, it was a disease he got. Now, it might have been a test. It might have just been part of his genes or whatever it might have been. Then in September, before he died, he gets news that his whole body is full of cancer. Was that because God was judging him for willful sin? Well, look, I don't know everything about Phil Dunn, but I know this. He was not living a life of willful sin. So he said, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that what might happen to one person is just a sickness or a disease, and the same sickness or a disease that happens to somebody else could be chastisement. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And whatever, you know, there's all kinds of ways God has of getting our attention, does he not? Listen, I was in church. I was the pastor of the church. My heart was cold. I don't remember all the details, but my heart was cold. I was not right. My prayer life wasn't right. My Bible reading wasn't right. I did everything. I went to church. I worked on messages. I preached. I taught. I went on visits. Are you with me? But I was backslid. And God will use his word. God will use preaching. God will use the Holy Ghost. God will use to get our attention, will he not? And there's several times that God tried to get my attention. And I just put it off, and I was just going through that rut. And I mean to tell you, I was cutting that grass one day, and my foot went under that mower. And as soon as I looked up on that flap of that boot and saw all that blood, I thought, God, you have got my attention. She loads me up in an old Plymouth station wagon we had. I had my foot up on the window. I was laying in that seat, and I said, Lord, I am going to get right with you. And before we got to the hospital, which was a 30-minute drive, I had confessed, I had repented, and I had those joy bells. And then I get to the hospital, and the doctor checks my foot. He said, preacher, I have seen a lot of lawnmower accidents. I've seen the top of the foot chopped off. I've seen all the toes chopped off. He said, I have never, ever seen a foot where the big toe was cut right down the middle, and that was the only damage to the foot. And I thought right away, that's the kindness of my Heavenly Father. Every time I put my right sock on, there's a little scar on my toenail that reminds me how much God loves me. Are y'all with me? You don't want to stay in willful sin. His mercy is everlasting. His grace is ceaseless. Nobody loves us like Jesus loves us. Nobody. Nobody wants his will done in our life more than Jesus Christ does. Guys, it's an honor and a privilege, and I am out of time. What are you laughing at?